Falun Gong is freely practiced in over 40 countries around the world, but relentlessly persecuted in China. The peaceful courage of practitioners there has shocked their oppressors and moved the people of the world. While China continues to block all information, FGM-TV brings you the stories you may not hear anywhere else. Hello and welcome to FGM-TV on October the 30th, 2001. I'm Susan Mitchell. In our stories this week, parliamentarians, bishops, and city officials throughout Europe, Canada, and the United States register strong condemnation of China's treatment of Falun Gong. An Italian businessman loses his company in China just because he practices Falun Gong. Canadian Prime Minister Chrétien and U.S. President Bush bring up the Falun Gong issue at the APEC meetings in Shanghai. A recently released report concludes that Nortel Networks, formerly the largest telecommunications company in Canada, is helping the Chinese government build the Great Firewall of China. One reason for this is seen to be a further repression of political dissidents using the Internet. The Falun Gong websites, including clearwisdom.net and Minghui.org, its Chinese counterpart, are among sites that are blocked from Chinese Internet users. In this week's update from China, the number of Falun Gong practitioners verified to have died while in detention is 304 as of today, although government sources in China say that the actual number exceeds 1,000. The 610 office in Shijiazhuan City in China is promoted from being an affiliated office to becoming a standing department in the city. An elderly couple go to visit their 23-year-old daughter in a detention center, only to discover that she died that morning from force feeding. On National Day in China, hundreds of practitioners are arrested, but thousands of flyers are distributed, stickers are posted, and banners fly throughout cities across the country, telling the truth of Falun Gong. Officials of the Jilin Province female labor camp in Changchun City refuse to comply with Ministry of Justice instructions prohibiting physical and verbal abuse of Falun Gong, and also from extending their sentences. And details of what happens to practitioners who publish their names in Falun Gong literature in China. And our last story, although China claims to be successfully eradicating Falun Gong, in the past 10 months, over 41,500 people have published solemn declarations on Minghui Net, the Chinese counterpart of Clear Wisdom Net. These are declarations declaring null and void the so-called guarantees to stop practicing that they were pressured to sign while illegally detained by Chinese authorities. In the last 7 days, we have received almost two dozen letters of support, proclamations, and certificates from kind-hearted government officials throughout the United States, France, the Netherlands, Australia, and Great Britain. As well, there were questions raised in the Irish Parliament about the current state of imprisoned PhD student Zhao Ming. The reply was as follows. During the recent visit of Premier Zhu Rongji, I met with senior members of the Chinese delegation, including Foreign Minister Tang. Human rights were raised by the Taoiseach in an open and frank way during his private meeting with the Premier and during plenary meetings with the Chinese delegation, which both Foreign Minister Tang and I attended. The Taoiseach set out Ireland's concerns, in particular, in relation to the treatment of Falun Gong practitioners. The Taoiseach took the opportunity to raise the case of Mr. Zhao Ming, the Trinity College student currently detained in China. The Premier undertook to raise this case with the judicial authorities on his return to China, and the government has been assured that this has been done. We will continue to closely monitor the situation. An Italian businessman loses his company in China for practicing Falun Gong. On the 8th of October, Alfredo Favo Minor, general manager of a fabrics company in Shanghai, arrived at Shanghai Airport from Italy as he had done numerous times before. But within an hour and a half, he was deported back to Italy. His only crime was that he participated in a rally in Rome 2 weeks earlier for the human rights of Falun Gong practitioners persecuted in China. He has since been blacklisted. Mr. Favo Minor owns and runs a successful business in China, which he founded 6 years ago with great courage and foresight. He is a great enthusiast of Chinese culture. He has a wife of Chinese origin, and he employs 35 people in Shanghai. He has also been awarded the honor of Model Foreign Investor by the local authority. Mr. Favo Minor's plight shows that China's regime of terror is much closer to the people of Europe than we might have thought before, that a European citizen may lose his property, even his livelihood in China, for exercising his freedom of expression and belief, and that a European may have to abandon his belief and conscience in order to be allowed to run his business in China. And a short European announcement. During the last week, the launch of two new Clear Harmony websites were announced, one Swedish and one French. These will provide the readers of those languages information about Falun Gong, the brutal persecution of Falun Dafa practitioners in China, and about Falun Gong in Europe, as well as support from European countries. During the Falun Dafa rally in Rome, Italy, two government officials offered their heartfelt support. The first speech was by Gustavo Selvo, chair of the Foreign Affairs Office of the Italian Parliament. "We feel encouraged by the peaceful demonstrations by Falun Gong. Thus, we need to support them more. We feel that our support should be of a moral responsibility rather than simply a political one. We believe that your belief, freedom, and respect for civilization will win. We should avoid letting business be the only link between nations and their peoples. Instead, first of all, we should show respect to, we should create a society within which individual beliefs and freedom are respected. In the end, I would like to emphasize that I will continue supporting the battle to win the freedom of speech and beliefs." The second was a statement from D'Amico Natale. He was the first Italian member of parliament to sign the resolution condemning China. And he said, "We should respect people's belief and freedom of speech. I would like to emphasize that the current persecution towards Falun Gong by the Chinese government is a disaster for the whole of mankind. I am in support of the resolution, in which the Italian government is requested to apply pressure to China in order to help the Falun Gong members to regain their freedom of belief and speech." The truth-clarifying booklet, The True Story of Falun Gong, contains an article entitled "Hangzhou City Falun Gong Contact Person Wang Dawu Sent Explanatory Letter to CCTV About Its Broadcast of a Fabricated Story" called "Three Reports of the Crimes of Illegal Falun Gong Publications Were Tracked Down." In the letter, he wrote, "It is not easy to tell the truth. Sometimes we must pay for it. I have a 70-year-old mother and a 3-year-old child. Considering the current situation in China, perhaps I will be detained when I publish this letter. But after I thought it over thoroughly, I thought I should come out and speak the truth." Afterwards, for telling the truth, he was arrested and sent to a labor camp. He was sentenced to 2 years of forced labor to begin with. As he refused to slander Falun Dafa, his detention sentence was extended to 3 years. His wife was also sentenced to 2 years of forced labor. His mother and father had to take care of his 3-year-old child, and his father-in-law is very old, and his mother-in-law is paralyzed. 158 female Dafa practitioners in Wanjia labor camp hold a memorial ceremony for fellow practitioners who were tortured to death. Earlier this year, the international media reported on mass killing of Falun Dafa practitioners in Wanjia labor camp. The following report was recently smuggled out of the camp. September 29, 2001, marked the 100th day after Falun Dafa practitioners Zhao Yayun, Zhang Yulan, and Li Xuqin were tortured to death. All 158 Falun Dafa practitioners illegally detained in Team 7 of Wanjia labor camp, except for the 11 practitioners held in solitary confinement after emergency treatment, held a memorial ceremony for all the Dafa practitioners who had lost their lives while safeguarding Falun Dafa. The ceremony was solemn. The doors of each cell were opened. Practitioners were neatly dressed with white flowers pinned on their chests. They stood quietly and shed tears as the memorial speech was given. this memorial was held in our ward. We had planned collectively to hold it on the playground or in the dining hall, but because the imprisoned DAFA practitioners were deprived of their freedom, we had to fulfill our wish to mourn for the fellow practitioners in the restricted wards. The 11 DAFA practitioners who survived that torture have been held in solitary confinement in harsh conditions over the past 100 days. We are deeply concerned about them. Shi Jiazhuang City 610 Office, this was an agency specifically created to persecute Falun Gong, with absolute power over each level of administration in the party and all other political and judiciary systems, formerly was a temporarily affiliated office at the city government level. The office has committed many crimes. Recently, Shi Jiazhuang City government authorized organizational committees in every district to promote the vicious 610 office from an affiliated office to a 610 standing department within the city. This means that every year, the government would allocate activity fees and appoint special personnel to, quote, carry out special tasks. And also, Shi Jiazhuang City in Hebei province, at about 8 p.m. on October the 5th, without proper legal documents, several dozen police officers from the East Street Police Station broke into a practitioner's home in Yudong District. They tried to break through the door to kidnap the practitioner, but he didn't cooperate with them. Since the police could not pry the door open, they unlocked the door with a master key and broke in. The commanding officer, Mr. Li, kicked the practitioner's 70-year-old mother on her chest. She passed out immediately and had to be sent to hospital for emergency treatment. The practitioner was able to escape. And moving to Harbin City in Heilongjiang Province. A reliable source has reported that starting around October the 12th, Harbin City has started implementing a new policy on persecuting Falun Gong. This policy was issued directly by Jiang Zemin to the Party Committee of Heilongjiang Province. It states that because the APEC convention was being held in Shanghai, all Falun Dafa practitioners within the region must be arrested. More than 10 Falun Dafa practitioners were arrested in Harbin City, and at least two homes that were used to produce Falun Dafa literature and CDs were destroyed. From Qingdao City in Shandong Province, starting on October the 1st, authorities began to hold continuous brainwashing classes in the 6th rubber factory. It was reported that they were unable to force Falun Dafa practitioners to renounce their beliefs, even though some of them were beaten many times to the extent that some had to get more than 10 stitches to close wounds to their heads. And now, a different kind of retribution story. In Canada, the Montreal Gazette reported last week that Nortel, formerly Canada's largest telecommunications company, appears to have compromised its internet privacy statement by helping the Chinese government develop the Great Firewall of China. According to a report released by Warren Almond, a former Canadian federal government cabinet minister and now president of the International Center for Human Rights and Democratic Development, Nortel and other firms are helping China to build, quote, a more sophisticated system of content filtration at the individual level, and that old-style censorship is being replaced with a massive ubiquitous architecture of surveillance. The report is titled China's Golden Shield, Corporations and the Development of Surveillance Technology in the People's Republic of China. Ultimately, the aim is to integrate a gigantic online database with an all-encompassing surveillance network, end of quote. That network would include speech and face recognition, closed-circuit television, smart cards, credit records, and internet surveillance technologies. Nortel has lost billions of dollars in the past months and has been forced to lay off thousands of staff. The principle that good will be rewarded with good and evil will suffer retribution is universal. A few weeks ago, we reported that in 7 days we received information that 7 practitioners had been murdered in custody, and that during the same 7 days, in different areas of the country, the sudden deaths of 7 officials who had viciously persecuted Falun Gong were also made public. In the last 7 days, the death count of officials who have persecuted Falun Gong is higher than the number of practitioners tortured to death. Because of time limitations, we've not provided many accounts of officials who have been seriously injured or who have suffered major personal calamities and family tragedies. However, there are many such reports, like two received this week. Chen Jishun, a villager from Leiyin Village, Lian County of Pengjiao City in Sichuan Province, who burned his mother's Falun Dafa books and shortly afterwards had four of his fingers cut off by a chainsaw while doing carpentry work. It seems that the heavenly principle that good will be rewarded with good and evil with evil is not limited to the person alone, but sometimes extends to their family members. For instance, while the chief authority in charge of persecuting Falun Dafa practitioners in Anjua Town, Feiqing City of Shandong Province, was preparing for his son's wedding, his son, Gao Haisheng, was electrocuted to death during a working shift at the Xihang Electricity Power Plant. And our final story this week, China has bragged that it is successfully eradicating Falun Gong, but statistics show that between early January and October the 29th, 2001, 41,500 people have published solemn declarations on Menghui.net, the Chinese counterpart of clearwisdom.net. These people declared in their statements that the brainwashing done by Jiang Zemin's regime is null and void. In addition, they stated that they will resume their practice of Falun Gong. In mainland China, Jiang Zemin's regime strictly blocks the internet and controls email at all costs. Even in such an environment, every day an average of 143 people have successfully published their solemn declarations on Menghui.net. They have overcome many difficulties and took the risk of being arrested, sentenced, and tortured to death. This fact has proved that suppression with violence and brainwashing with force have failed, thus verifying the famous words of the founder of Falun Gong, "Coercion cannot change people's hearts." Thanks for watching FGM TV, dedicated to breaking through China's information blockade, revealing propaganda, and bringing you the truth of Falun Gong.